stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a woman dying from a loss of food. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. We still don't understand. Thunder and lightning flash back to when we didn't fund the dam. Didn't fund the dam levy? No wonder, man. Now a whole damn city's torn asunder, man. Underwater, but we still don't understand. We see hurricane spills overrun the land through gaps you couldn't fill with 100 tons of sand. No, we still don't understand. We've seen planes in the windows of buildings crumbled in. We've seen flames sending chills through London, and we've sent planes to kill them, and some of them are children, but still we crumble in the building. Underfunded, but we still don't understand. Under God, but we kill like the son of Sam. But if you feel like I feel about the son of man, we will overcome. So stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Stand up. We shall not be moved, except by a woman dying from a loss of food. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. I said put your hands up, and I'll copy you. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. If you've got more to give, then you've got to prove. Put your hands up, and I'll copy you. We shall not be moved, except by a child with no socks and shoes, except by a woman dying from a loss of food, except by a freedom fighter bleeding on a cross for you. We shall not be moved, except by a system that's rotten through, neglecting the victims and ordering the cops to shoot. High treason, now we need a prosecute, so stand up. We shall not be moved, and we won't fight.
Okay, folks, that was another song by the Flowbots, Stand Up, and we're now into the World Labor Hour Part 2. And you're listening to the World Labor Hour, listen to community radio station WFT in Champaign, Illinois, 90.1 FM, and webcast live worldwide at WFT.org. Another quick news story, a local story here. Champaign County board members tentatively agreed to put a quarter-cent sales tax for public facilities improvements, likely including expansion of the East Urbana Satellite Jail on the November 8th ballot on Tuesday night. The vote taken after more than 4 hours of input, discussion, and debate of the jam-packed room of citizens was 15-3. You were there, weren't you, Gus?
Yeah, I was there. I saw it all.
You know, I was going to go. I was intending to go, but my wife had some internal union issues that I had to help her with, get ready for her e-board meeting. I don't want to go into that, but it's basically, you know, anyway, I couldn't make it, so you're saying miss a whole lot that you were, because it's frustrating.
We knew that the board had their mind made up. They were going to put the tax on there regardless. The key thing that, you know, we're very confident in our organizing efforts as a community that we're going to be able to get this thing killed during the vote November. But the thing is that, you know, it was such a disrespectful demonstration by the county board and how they treated the people of the community. You know, there were people that had to speak. That wanted to speak. Usually when I've gone to these board meetings, when there's been extra time to speak or extra people to speak after the time allotted for public, responses, mm-hmm. they usually are like, yeah, just go ahead and let them speak. But you had almost half of the board voted no to let these people, to not let these people speak, just to go over like an extra 10, 15 minutes to let these people speak. And half of them voted no. So you could already tell that they understood that we know what they're doing with this sales tax mm-hmm. because they're the only ones that want this mess. I mean, it is one of the most bizarre cases of wanting to build another jail mm-hmm. that I have ever seen in my life. Because number one, you have conservatives in this community that are going to throw that crap in the trash when they understand, because you know their big thing is about cutting taxes, etc. They don't want another sales tax. I mean, the fiscally conservative Republicans are going to tear this bill apart. The progressive liberals are going to tear this referendum apart. So what they're trying to do, the county board is trying to sneak a new jail in by introducing a tax through a referendum.
Yeah, and they're trying to, I understand they're trying to couple it with, improvements to the, Champaign County nursing home, as well as talking about a detox facility, however, part of the jail and not a separate entity.
Here's another disrespectful point of the package they presented to the community mm-hmm. is that they have the mental health facility as group C instead of group A is going to be the jail construction.
Okay.
Meaning that it's going to happen. That's our first priority.
Okay.
Group C, which is the mental health facility, which we know we desperately need after so many deaths in our county jail.
Yes.
They put it in group C, meaning that it's
conceptual.
Something, it's something conceptual. We're yeah. not even, we're just something we're thinking about.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen. That's what they think. They don't want to improve the actual facilities and build a facility in the community that we need, because that's what this sales tax, if there's going to be one, needs to be. It needs to be to protect the nursing home,
mm-hmm.
right? Protect it from privatization, and it needs to actually build a mental health facility, because in this town, there is no facility for detox or for mental illness. If something happens to you in terms of drugs or alcohol or some type of mental illness, they throw you in jail here.
Yeah. And we've seen the results of that. Yeah, Three people died this year.
Exactly.
Alone. Yeah.
Multiple people have died this year in the county jail. And instead of addressing that particular issue, they want to just throw more people in jail, because regardless of what you, I didn't have a chance to speak because I didn't, you know, I wanted the community to speak, but what I would have said and what I always say, because I've seen it happen everywhere that I've lived and I've studied, when they build jails, they gotta fill them.
Yep.
And they are going to fill this one up
if you build it, they will be brought here.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The meeting was a complete fiasco on the side of the county board. They were disrespectful. They didn't care what the community had to say. While the community spoke just incredibly great about themselves and about how we need this mental facility, they brought in data and everything. The county board, again, their interests don't serve ours, so of course they tuned us out.
Yeah.
But that's okay though, because they understand who we are and they know how we fight.
Yeah.
And we are going to organize and we're going to rip this bill to shreds.
In fact, because of citizen organization, has prevented the expansion of a jail for now over 3 years.
Yeah, we did it 3 years ago.
I mean,
it was an amazing, you had North End Breakfast Club, CUCPJ, Champaign, Citizen for Peace and Justice, Jobs for Justice, GEO. You have all these groups that come together to beat that jail crap down.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're trying to backdoor it in through
yep.
a sales tax. No.
Yeah.
Come on now. Nobody's going to vote for it. And our organizing, I'm telling you, we're going to rip this thing to shreds.
Yeah. And at the very least, it should be decoupled. You know, let the voters decide, should we want new jails, or do we want to protect the county nursing home and build a mental health detox center?
Yeah, the county,
and not to mention the schools. They need some new building for space. So, I mean, there's lots of needs in the community, and it's definitely not expanding the jail.
Yeah, the county board really should be ashamed of themselves doing this. I mean, this is...
You know, all these Democrats that are supposed to be so, representative of such progressive values. I'm going to read the names of the ones. First of all, the ones voted against it was Democrat Josh Harkey, Democrat Matthew Heiser, and Republican John Rector. And then there was some people that didn't show up to vote, which were, I don't have them here, Rachel Schwartz, I think, was one of them. But the ones who voted for this, and these are, a lot of these names on here, who they are. Democrat Pius Weibel, Democrat James Quinsbury, Democrat Chairwoman Patsy Petry,
there it is.
Democrat Shanna Harrison, Democrat Chris Alex, Democrat Astrid Bergson. Astrid, I know you, and well, I'll go into that when I see you face to face. Democrat Geraldo Rosales, Democrat Lloyd Carter,
like Trump,
Democrat Lorraine Colbert. Are you kidding me?
No, but this is what we always talk about on this show, is that the liberals, or who claim to be Democrats, are really these neoliberal corporate people who want, I mean, this is their thing. They want to feel like they are protecting society by throwing anybody that they feel that is not part of who they consider to be a person in jail. That's the only explanation of why you have a list of Democrats who are voting to take money out of the community,
mm-hmm.
to build a jail, and not put any money in jobs, not put money in any type of mental health facility in the community, and not to say the nursing home. And I'm talking to Patsy Petry especially.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Geraldo Rosales, Lloyd Carter,
really?
And Lorraine Colbert?
Yeah.
I mean, these are people, African-American people of color.
Yeah.
I mean, my God.
Well,
there,
let me, you know who's really pushing this. Of course, we could be building a lot of different things, but just because it's something that's been brought up to be built, of course, all the building trades business agents are all over these.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the thing. You know,
why don't they push for something different to be built?
Well,
want something built, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they could be doing
schools.
This.
Exactly.
Expand the county nursing home and build a brand new detox mental health facility.
Yeah. My business agent could be in there arguing for building three buildings like that instead of building a jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. What you said, you have.
Oh, by the way, Dave. I'm sorry. Just an aside here. You worked with my business agent on a jail.
Well, yeah.
I have Piatt County. Yeah. Rusty was a laborer.
Yeah.
I just saw that.
Well, yeah. You know, and that's the thing is that's, you know, you can't blame building trades people that if they get a call from the hall and they're going to go to work for something that's already been allocated. But you know what?
I've worked on nuclear power plant.
That's one thing I never did, Bill. I never got within a mile of a nuclear power plant, but that was your choice. Nevertheless, as a building trades person, I know there's a lot of other ones out there, rank and filers, who would much rather build schools, nursing homes and you know mental health facilities than a darn jail.
But you mentioned African Americans on the board that voted for this. That's why we can't continue this identity politics garbage. And that you have to understand, this is a racial class issue.
Yes.
You had the petty bourgeoisie who sit on the board who have no respect for working people, because who's going into those jails? Working and poor people. They have no respect for them. They don't care about their interests. That's why you have them voting to put more people in jail. That's the only explanation. So this can't be strictly a black versus white thing. This is not.
Yeah. I mean, guess what I was getting at is I know Lloyd Carter in particular.
Yeah.
He's working class. He lives in a working class community in the African American community.
He do come from the working class.
Okay. So that's what I was getting at. Lorraine Kohler, I don't know her, but the district she's from, she's also lives in a working class area.
And that's the thing. It doesn't make any sense other than you have interest that served the petty bourgeoisie.
Yeah.
Because what other reason would you have to vote for a jail tax? It makes no sense. There could be so many other proposals, like Bill said, brought in, and you said as well, about education, about a mental health facility, yet neither one of those things was brought up. It was in Group C. That's how I know it was petty bourgeoisie. If it wasn't, they would be like, hey, we have an alternative plan too.
Yeah.
Instead of it being just one thing in Group A, let's have two things in Group A as two alternatives.
Yeah.
But they just completely miss building a community center to help people who have issues with drugs and alcohol or some other mental illness. They just completely dismiss those people.
Yes.
Well,
because they aren't part of their racial class.
There's another thing you got to remember too. When you're talking about mental health care and this drug counseling stuff, it is very, very, it has always been very privatized.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you get sent, say you get in trouble and you get sentenced, you know, you got caught with some weed, you know, they'll sentence you to part of your probation going to a private, any kind of counseling that fits their criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always going to be a private counselor. There is no public option.
Yeah, it's a money.
So they're right there is a big.
It's a money making industry, just like,
the
drug testing thing.
I told a counselor one time, I said, you know, and this is where I was in trouble, but. I said, you know, I bet you got lobbyists. I bet you belong to an association that has lobbyists in Springfield, lobbying for heavier drug laws, don't you?
More draconian drug laws, yeah.
She goes, yes.
And she admitted it to you, yeah.
But it's really weird. My outtake person was like a real leftist.
Oh, okay.
But let's get into the actual, what their reasoning is for building this new jail. They keep putting this in our ear over and over again that one of the older jails is just so decrepit that they have to close it and open a new
one. The downtown Urbana jail?
Yeah.
I worked on that jail when I was
in
1979. So yeah, I broke out two, Bill, two.
No, you're getting old, Dave. That's it. You're getting old.
That was one of the best public comments that came out. Somebody came in and was like, oh, y'all claim the jail is so old and this and that. I think I can give a shout out to Martell Miller for this because he brought this to public comments. He said this jail was only, it was built in the, what you say, you worked on the 80s?
78, 79.
Yeah. He said, he's like, I looked at all the other jails that were built around the different areas and some of them go back into, and some of them go back in 70, 80 year old jails.
Yeah.
Well, they've just been refurbished. How come you all can't take the money that is allocated for that and just fix this jail up and build us something in the community too?
Yeah, and also that jail downtown Urbana that they say is so decrepit, it's solid poured concrete.
Looks
not
like
precast,
underground, man.
Brick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a solid building. You know, this satellite jail they built back in the 90s, it's crap precast concrete and they just basically build it on the cheap.
And they're not talking about
it's falling apart.
And they're not talking about doing anything with that jail.
Right.
They keep talking about wanting to
expand
break down the real really stronghold downtown jail.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, too, the downtown jail is going to be the most expensive thing to work on just because of its location.
Well,
and more of a problem because of traffic.
Well, know. Also, think of, that's a good point, Bill. Prime real estate location. Exactly. You got to wonder about what's behind, you know, some of this, what's going on behind the scenes. And not only that, but I've specifically heard what the problems are there that supposedly it's so deteriorating. It's roof leaking. Duh. You have to patch it once in a while. Rodents and insects. Yeah. Call an exterminator. Poor lighting. Get some new light fixtures or change some bulbs more regularly. And peeling paint.
Yeah.
Call in a painter. I mean, these are not structural problems.
Yeah, but you're going to have those on any building after you build it.
Exactly.
They haven't invented any non-peeling paint since that was built.
Yeah. No, not unless you want to go back to the old lead paint, man, it's problems. But no, they intentionally are letting that jail, you know, basically run down.
Yeah, and I think what's important to talk about too with that is, I think that's really a great point in that with this jail, there is, I lost my thought when y'all were talking just now.
Sorry about that.
come back to me, but there was this point I was going to make about, oh yeah, one of the big things that the Republicans who are against the jail, I don't agree with Republican policy
sure.
at all, but they bring up a very good point for the community is that they're talking about this thing is going to cost $16 million, but you know for a fact that once it gets into construction, that number is going to double easily and the community is going to have to fit the bill.
Yeah.
And the fiscally neoconservative Republicans, they're like, no, we know this thing is going to cost $16 million. You're not going to run that past us. That's why that list is so full of Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's why it's like, yeah, it's money interest, because remember the Republicans, their big thing is, you know, we're going to make sure we protect our money base. And these Democrats, they have this, I'm telling you, it's just, we cannot consider them to be progressive anymore.
Yes.
We have to break away from that just associating the word Democrat with progressive.
Indeed.
It doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess we could do another little musical segue here and get into another topic that Gus wants to really go into, a really excellent one here. So you're listening to World Labor Hour on Community Radio WFT 90.1 FM. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
It's drastic time for sure. We need an antidote and a cure. Cause do you really think Muhammad got a problem with Jehovah? We don't want war. Imagine if every prophet was alive. And current days amongst you and I. You think they would view life like you and I do? Or would they sit and contemplate on why do we live this way? Act and behave this way. We still living primitive today. Cause a piece of the destination in war can't be the way. There's no way. So people just be a woman, be a man. Realize that you can change the world by changing yourself. And understand that we all just the same. So when I count to three, let's change.
Time for grand philosophy. I'll barely keep my head above the tide. I got this mortgage, got three kids in school. What you steal is the truth, but really troubles me inside. I'd change the world if I could change my mind. If I could live beyond my fears. Exchanging unity for all my insecurity. Exchanging laughter for my tears.
Oh, Okay, we're back, and you're listening to the World Labor Hour, and you know, we were talking about I don't know, a couple of films, but I want to give a shout out to a TV series that Wood told me about months ago, and I finally got a chance to watch the whole 10 episode season in two nights because I couldn't turn it off. It's called Underground. You want to talk a little bit about the TV series Underground?
I mean, I'm telling you, like, if you would have told me back in the 90s that WGN would become one of the best television stations in terms of quality for their original programming because they have Underground and Manhattan. I mean, it's like, it's really just, we're in this new age of really good television writing because a lot of the actors and directors and people in Hollywood, they've realized that there's too many restrictions in Hollywood and in movie making in terms of funding, in terms of a story, et cetera, because it's so corporatized now. Like, you have to do something under this corporate umbrella. So many of them are going into television now, and that's why you've seen so much really great television. And Underground is one of those programs where the writing is amazing, and it is about slave resistance in antebellum United
and
States.
It starts right after the first episode starts right after the Supreme Court Dred Scott decision.
Exactly. So it starts right around the end of 1857.
Okay,
and everything by that point, the Fugitive Slave Law has been in effect for over 7 years now. So it's at the point to where even some of the abolitionists up north are now starting to abandon their help for slaves. Because of for escaped slaves, because they themselves can be prosecuted and in some instances killed if they are found to help slaves or to be a
killed,
part of a,
killed meaning without, you know, by people that are will be acting as like federal marshals as a judge, jury, and executioner.
And one of the things a lot of people don't recognize about lynchings is that when, you know, lynching wasn't the major form of violence during slavery, but you did have people lynched. You had African Americans lynched. You also had supporters of abolition, strong supporters of abolition as white people that were lynched as well. So yeah, there was a lot of extra legal violence going on at that time, particularly because the Fugitive Slave Law was such a just a watershed moment in U.S. history that really divided groups because it forced people who didn't want to be a part of something to be a part of it. So you have federal troops going into homes and telling people, you have to help us capture a slave in this area if it's rumored that they're in.
And this,
this
is
area.
Not in the South we're talking about. We're talking about in Illinois, Midwest, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia. I mean, basically the slave, once it got across the, escaped slave got across the Ohio River, they weren't just free. They still were hunted down.
Yeah, they were hunted down relentlessly because, I mean, even if there was a whiff of, and there's some really good pictures online for those listening of those Fugitive Slave Law posters that were put up and like, tell us immediately. And they would actually have to go and get state troops and federal people. So they got militia people, et cetera, and you had to help. And if you refused as a person in that area to help, then if you had a really nasty federal person or militia person, they could they would use retribution against you. So you had so a lot of these slaves in Underground, they have to really be very tight about their networks and escaping to different parts of Canada to get away. So it's a really gripping like thriller.
Oh yeah,
I mean, a lot of it is drama as well. But when you start getting into the intense scenes, you really can't tell who's going to help who.
It's, yes,
it's like I mean, the writing is really phenomenal.
Yeah, what Gus is referring to the characters. I mean, this is not just, you know, characters that are pure evil, pure good. I mean, you're talking about, oh, there is some pure evil characters in this for sure. But, you know, most of the characters, I mean, a lot of them come under such pressures from, you know, the society and the economic and political structure to make them do things they not wouldn't normally do.
Exactly. So a lot of moral ambiguity.
Yes.
In other words, So, you know, you want to like somebody, but you really can't because they do something one episode, but then you get deeper into their layers of their character and you're like, okay, it's kind of like with The Wire.
Yeah.
I think it's a good comparison to the show The Wire because in that show you had so many moral, you had so much more ambiguity because you had people who were engaging in illegal capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
You had people who were bounty hunters and killing illegal capitalists, etc. But then you actually see their everyday life and the things they did outside of that. And it's like, man, this is a really great character, but they do these things. So it's like, so it really stays with you.
Yeah. Even amongst the slaves, I mean, you know, the one character, Cato, I mean, I hated that character up until, I don't want to spoil it, but you know, you start to see why he became the way he did.
Yeah.
And then you see him, he starts to, you know, become a better person, you know, because
okay,
struggle.
So he started out as a heel, which is a wrestling term.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the
okay,
term.
Okay, well, what you're describing, when you're describing
oh, heel, okay, is a bad it,
yeah,
character, bad, yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me of wrestling and soap operas.
Yeah.
Where you have, and because is it that, works real well in narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have somebody who's a terrible person, and they become good, and you have people who are good people, and they become bad.
Yep,
yeah,
yep,
I mean, all the time, it's a really interesting, it's a really, it must be really deeply ingrained on people, and you have it in politics too. George W. Bush. Reformed alcoholic jerk,
yeah,
supposedly,
yeah,
you know.
Well, he just got worse, but anyway.
But I mean, that was his redemption story. That
yeah,
narrative,
yeah, that narrative, right? But you can see Underground. They currently it's available at video stores on DVD, mm-hmm. and it's available. The whole first season is available on Hulu, and there's probably other internet portals that you can find it too. Highly recommend it. And there's supposed to be a second season. And just to give you a little hint. It looks like that Harriet Tubman might be involved in the second episode.
Moses is coming.
Yes, yes.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be intense, and I believe it starts either at the beginning of October or later in that month.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, WGN, y'all. That's the station now that is, it has some extremely amazing quality programming.
Well, okay. That's amazing when you think of the. I believe it's. Is it still owned by the world's greatest newspaper? Which is what WGN stands
not sure.
for, because it was owned by Chicago
Tribune. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Which is rather conservative organization.
Exactly. Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, a lot of these things, like the Fox TV network,
mm-hmm.
is much, much different than the Fox News channel.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, Gus, the time we got remaining here, and oh man, this time has flown today. I want to say, you know, if anyone wants to call in the show, we have the phone lines open at 217-359. Bill, help me out here. I can't remember what
Fly live.
Yeah,
217-359-5483.
I'm sorry, I had a momentary lapse there. But anyway, today, unfortunately, is Gus Wood's last regular program with us. He's going to be going back and forth between here and Atlanta, but he did promise he will pop in once in a while. And if something big comes up in Atlanta, you need to call us.
Oh yeah, of course, you know, and then, you know, I'll be gone for at least 6 weeks, but I'll be back at the beginning of October.
Okay.
So you'll have me for the whole month of October.
Great.
Then
okay.
But then I have to go again.
Okay.
And then I probably won't be back until maybe the end of December.
Okay.
So yeah, but I'll, yeah, so the whole month of October I'll be here. But
okay.
Yeah,
and in the meantime, you can then be our official Atlanta correspondent.
Okay.
If something comes up,
call in and see what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody's listening to the show, and I've told tons of people about it. So we got people in Atlanta now. Be, you know, listening to it and telling their people about it too.
Okay.
So,
yeah, so. Is there any community radio stations, in Atlanta? Oh man.
I mean, you got some really small upstarts that are really basically podcasts.
Okay.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, Atlanta is so corporatized. Yeah. The radio stations there, you have a few talk shows that are in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And most of those shows, again, they don't go into.
You talk about commercial radio
Commercial radio. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go into anything of in terms of the experience.
Well, it'd be
of
probably like
people.
WDWS here.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you may have something.
Penny for your thoughts.
Yeah.
Right. You may have something happen huge nationwide that they'll talk about for a day.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, it's on to, you know, regular goofy stuff, mm-hmm. relationship mm-hmm. issues, iPhones, et cetera.
Oh, so, too typical. Yeah. So you had a topic you wanted to talk about that kind of tied into the previous topic a little bit, right?
I found it denim to go with what we were talking about, because one of the things that, you know, the big question is causation. So where do you get
the bomb robot?
Exactly. Where does the militarization come from? You know, not just, you know, where does this weaponry come from, and how do they actually build a military in the police force? So I found this little tidbit here about the 1033 program. And if some people know about the 1033 program, like Brian Dahlner and the other people who fight against police militarization. But for the average listener, what the 1033 program is called is the Law Enforcement Support Office Program. And under that program, the Defense Department is authorized to transfer surplus military equipment to police departments.
Required.
Yeah, that word is actually in the law. It's required to transfer surplus military equipment to police departments under a law signed by who else? Everybody's favorite terrible Democrat. Bill Clinton.
Uh-huh. Oh, he's just like a bad case of.
Well, that was 100,000 cops on the street time.
Yep, that was
super predator time, and we got to bring them to heel.
Yeah, that was it. That was when.
That's at the 90s. Ah.
Yeah, that was it. A lot of people don't recognize. Everybody talks about Three Strikes, You're Out as being Bill Clinton's worst offense against African-American communities. But he did. This is something nobody knows, that he signed in the 1033 program.
Wow.
That militarized the police. So listen to these stats. From 1997 to 2014, more than $5 billion in surplus military equipment was distributed to law enforcement agencies. Again, from 1997 to 2014, more than $5 billion in surplus military equipment was distributed to law enforcement agencies, with purchases often subsidized by the federal grants. I'm telling you, so this thing is not something that is, this is not something that was just out of the blue. How easy is it to get this equipment? Quote, local enforcement agencies can look through an online catalog and purchase items like small arms and tents. Getting a tank or military aircraft requires a small amount of extra work. Authorities need to fill out a one-page request form specifying if they prefer the vehicle with wheels or tanks or tank tracks. And delivery takes only 14 days. That is how easy it is to get a military-grade weapon in a police department.
An actual tank.
Yes. One-page form, 14 days. And all you have to do is determine, the big question is, do you want tires or do you want track tanks?
Unbelievable.
And this is all because of what Bill Clinton signed in law. Now, in 2014, after people were shocked by what happened with military crackdowns in Ferguson, a report from NPR found that the Pentagon had sold 600 mine-resistant ambush-protected vehicles, MRAPs, throughout the program. Now, this is something that people didn't know about when they did that study from 97 to 2014. This is something that they uncovered all of a sudden. So Los Angeles police alone had 9 MRAPs as of 2014. And this is 2014 numbers, so they're actually higher now. So according to NPR, listen to the equipment that most police departments in big cities and smaller cities have as of today. 79,288 assault rifles, 205 grenade launchers. 11,959 bayonets, in case they want to.
Bayonets?
Yeah, they want to go back into the 19th century style of fighting. You know, the police want to have bayonets to fix on their rifles now. 3,972 combat knives. $124 million worth of night vision equipment, including night vision sniper scopes. 479 bomb detonating robots, which we've seen recently.
That was used as an offensive weapon, exactly, as opposed to a detonating
weapon. Yeah. Exactly. 50 airplanes, including 27 cargo transport airplanes, 422 helicopters, and more than $3.6 million worth of camouflage gear, deception equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what's happening now in all police departments. And I know Dave remembers a few years ago that the Champaign Police Department got an MRAP vehicle, and other instances they got rifles too, and they got assault rifles, and they got some other stuff too. So this is something that's happening in small towns and smaller cities as well as larger cities.
Yeah, and they try to justify the MRAP saying that it's an emergency vehicle in case there's a blizzard, we can go into, you know, besides the SWAT, you know, function.
Here's the justification that one police department gave, and this is in New Hampshire, and you know, a bunch of small cities where some of the populations are 23,000 or less, right? Here's one of the reasons why they got these ballistic engineer armor response counterattack trucks, these big things that you only see in Iraq and Kuwait, etc. They said, quote, the terrorism threat is far reaching and often unforeseen, end quote. And it's, you know, and like I said, this is something that the city is 23,000 people in New Hampshire, of all places. They have these Iraq and Kuwait level vehicles.
Yeah.
So again, that's why you can't separate police violence in America.
Yeah, and they say terrorist threat. Have them define the word terrorist.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's me and you and the people that speak out against injustice?
Exactly, because you know what's interesting is that when something happens overseas or here, whenever there's a mass murder, the question is it terrorism?
Yeah.
How is killing a group of people based on your belief not a terroristic act? They still don't consider the Dylann Roof murder of those black people in that church in South Carolina to be a terrorist
act. What?
No, that's not a terrorist act to them. The person who wielded the knife, I believe in Germany, that stabbed all those people.
Those immigrants?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't consider that to be a terrorist attack.
Ugh.
So it's only a terrorist attack.
And those people were targeted because they of who they were. In other words, in the case of the church, the African-American, and then Germany, it was immigrants from the Middle East.
Yeah, if this has anything to do with racism, or if it's a white person killing black folks, et cetera, it's not terrorism. But if it's somebody who exact same thing, a belief system, and they kill a bunch of people, but they're not from this area, then they're terrorists. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, we even have to go to that very basic understanding of what a terrorist is to understand how incredibly backwards this system is for the majority of the mass.
And even the Occupy movement in 2011 was labeled as terrorist.
Yeah, they were labeled
There's some
terrorists.
People now that want to label Black Lives Matter terrorists.
Which is utterly ridiculous.
Nonviolent citizens protesting, exercising
exactly.
their constitutional rights to protest injustice created by their own government
exactly.
are now considered terrorists by
terrorists
some people.
Now.
Yeah,
and Trump was one of the first ones to come out and call them terrorists. So yeah, this is so. So in other words, you know, you have this show has been about a lot. You got the police militarization, the police killings. You have all these things coming down. In other words, what we want to do with this show and what we want to do with all shows that we do is analyze the moment for our listeners so that they can better prepare the resistance. Because if you don't understand the moment that you're in, you will lose in developing resistance for it.
Yes.
It's impossible.
Okay, looks like we have a caller and... Hello, WFT, you're on the air.
Jim, I'm checking in.
Hi, Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing good. It's been a good show.
Thank you.
On the question of the police.
Yes.
Now, the only way that we can get away with this, it's not going to be easy, but we have to elect the police commissioners. We have to elect the sheriffs. And we also have to give power of attorney to the police oversight committee. In both cities. Now that would help enormously. Is it doable? It is doable, but it's not going to be easy. Thank you for taking my question and call.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jim.
Yeah, he's definitely right about that. Great,
uh-huh.
great comment, Jim. Yeah.
Okay.
That's one of the things that we have to understand in terms of developing tactics is we do have to start thinking about how do we give more people power of attorney? When we're talking about community resistance and depowering police, we're talking about subpoena power for the community. You can't just have a civilian review board and then not have subpoena power.
Correct.
Because it really, I mean,
it's worthless.
Exactly. It's just for show. So we're talking about real substantial, powerful elements that can be, that the community has to fight for to lead to the depowering of the police and the take back of their rights at
yes.
this point.
I and mean, it should be an elected police civilian
yes, very much
with subpoena power.
Process.
Exactly, because you know one of the things that we see happen a lot, and you know I've seen it happen locally here as well, is that people are appointed.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. uh-huh. We know where that's going, and
yep.
we know where some of those places.
Yeah,
it's dead. It's dead upon arrival. It's DOA. So that's why you do have to have those elections, and you have to go in, and there has to be campaigns by the community, and there have to be, you know, these groups coming in from the resources. And one of the last things we have to talk about is that in that instance, we have so many resources on that campus that, you know, and there's so much of the campus life that doesn't reach the community, which is really one of the biggest travesties of this area. Because I'm telling you, that's one of the biggest resources that the community could use to really beat a lot of this oppression in Champaign County is using the university, but there's still that line dividing it. You still
yeah.
have students, both undergrad and graduate. You still have faculty. You still have some staff, not much staff, but some staff who do not engage the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now we're having CU days right now in Douglas Park. You know, and
today, by the way?
It's today. And every year that I've been there, I've rarely seen university faculty and staff, et cetera, unless they live around in those close areas.
Okay.
And that's something that's really hurting the organizing.
And that's at Douglas Park, roughly it's on the Grove and, Fifth Street.
Yes.
In North Champaign. And that's going until what time tonight? Do you know?
It usually goes all day.
Uh huh.
I'm thinking maybe 6 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but I know it's going on right now though.
Okay.
Yep.
And it's got like almost a carnival atmosphere to it. I went,
yeah.
Last year and I really, you know, it was really a lot of fun.
Where'd you say that was again?
Well, it's up, it's Douglas Park, in North Champaign.
Yeah.
So it'd be a corner, it'd be like roughly the corner of Grove and Fifth Street.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I was thinking
yeah.
of another park.
Yeah, it's just right next to BT Washington Grade School, and just a couple blocks south of Bradley Avenue.
There you go.
On Fifth. Yeah. So, okay. Well, we're kind of winding down. Gus, any other thing you wanted to mention today, as far as you know, for listeners, what kind of impressed you?
For some odd reason, I thought I was going to be able to fit in this really cool commentary I saw about what the Communist Manifesto means today. But we don't have time for that. And then also too, I want to knock Hillary down a few more times as well.
Oh well, we can make time for that.
there's always great time for that. But yeah. I know that we're about to run out, so I guess we'll just save that for another time then.
Well, I think we'll have plenty of time for that for sure. Mm-hmm. And and I brought her running mate Mr. Baraka's acceptance speech, which I was going to read through. I did read part of it about the whole thing of the priorities of the Justice Department, you know, but he went into, you know, this guy, you could tell he comes from a working class poor background too, because he talks about, I mean, his speech, it's not the usual platitudes or abstract ideas, but he talks specific things about what he's, you know, experienced, what he sees, what he's, you know, and is very, what he talks about, how he talks about it is very, it's very working class, very poor.
It's not a politician rhetoric.
Yes.
You know, and that's important to see, because I've in Champaign County, we have all these elections coming up as well, and I've listened to some politicians speaking about what they plan to do, and all of it sounds the same.
Yeah.
Nobody's really doing what you say, like actually talking from the heart and saying, okay, I see a really big problem. I'm going to step out of bounds here and go against the grain and say, you know, it might jeopardize my support, but just saying something that I really want to do. You don't see that coming from many people, and that's really the biggest issue with a lot of the stuff in the system. You know, the stuff that Clinton is doing right now, she's getting all this support now from Republicans now, because, you know,
neocon war criminals like Henry Kissinger and what's his name, Neil Ponte, the warlord of the death squads.
Yeah, how do these people have any credibility after the last 15 years? It's just ridiculous.
Exactly.
They should be totally ignored. That's like Dick Morris from the 90s. From Clinton. People still listen to him. He still gets...
Well, it's because the corporate media keeps pushing him, you know?
I mean, this is like breaking news stuff when Kissinger is with Clinton now. And it's like, this is... I can't believe people are actually considering this to be a good thing.
Yeah. Virtually all of corporate America is behind Hillary Clinton.
That's what I'm saying. You know? Anybody that was, first of all, like I said, Trump's probably going to drop out at this point because he doesn't want to be president, which is something that we have to take credit for in this.
A lot of people
said this back in around February, March. We said, he doesn't want to be president.
Yeah.
This is a troll job. And now it's actually coming from this core of the Republican Party that, we're getting ready for him to drop within 2 weeks. And so they're actually searching for somebody to take his spot right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a lot of people think that, he's just not so stupid and crazy and things, that he's realized he's in over his head. And that's one of the reasons why he's just got multiple outrages every week.
Exactly.
And then he fights back on each one and just keeps it going.
You gotta wonder, not that I'm really putting much credibility in this, but sometimes I've wondered if whether or not his whole purpose for running was just to make Hillary Clinton look better.
And I'm starting to see that.
Yeah.
Now, Dave, there was, a person who worked in a PAC doesn't exist anymore when the campaign began.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't work directly for him. But she was told that the whole thing was to get Donald Trump into the double digits, maybe around 12%, and then there would be the real candidate would beat him with 50% of the vote, and a couple of other people. And what happened was they had so many people run.
Exactly.
And that screwed that plan completely up.
Man. Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting. We had the rank and file electrician on the show a couple weeks ago, Jim McCall, and he called Donald Trump a carnival barker. Well, this last week when I was working, you know, I thought of I think an even more precise term than that is I think he's more of a dunk tank clown. I mean, the dunk tank clowns, you know, for those who don't know, at the carnivals, they try to insult the person so they buy more balls to throw at them to try to dunk them in the tank.
Yeah, I mean, that's why people kept saying, I was telling them that there was really no anything to show that Donald Trump would ever be elected president just because he was getting clicks and likes and he won Republican nomination from such a horrible group of people. There was never any thinking of it. People were like, well, you know, we've been shocked before in America. Da, da, da. I'm like, No, that's not how systems work.
Yeah.
Systems work to stay consistent.
Stable. That is, that's
stable.
Yes, that's a very...
And Trump was something that was going to jeopardize said stability.
Yes.
And there was no way the ruling class was going to let that happen.
Right.
We talked about it in 2000.
Yeah.
They will take elections. Even if Trump actually just saw an angel one day or went to Oz and saw the wizard and got a heart or something and became this popular figure, guess what? If he still represented that volatile, undisciplined capitalist, he was still going to lose the election.
Yeah.
Clinton was going to have his soul. She is going to sleepwalk into the White House in November. Yeah. She was always going
to. And you think about what would her campaign even have if it wasn't for fear of Donald Trump being elected?
She'd have nothing.
Fear of Jeb Bush. His Supreme Court nominee.
Yeah.
She's emphasized two things the entire time. Fear of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And sustaining the system.
That second one is the main purpose.
Those are the two things that if you listen to what she says over and over again, you know, we're just going to improve on the system.
Yeah.
And we're going to, make sure Donald Trump
and
doesn't improve get the
White from
House,
whose point of view? Us or the 1%?
Why do you think after she gave her economic plan this week that all the billionaires came out and put out statements of support?
Do you know, I saw a statement from the national president of
Donald
Trump's
gifts to him.
Yeah.
The American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten, talk about what a brilliant, wonderful plan Hillary Clinton spoke at the, you know, her economic. I said, are you delusional? Are you, you know, that's the thing. We could go into this, you know, that a lot of these national union leaders, they're just as much a part of the system as these corporate executives. You know, I've heard, and this is substantiated. This is not just something off the top of my head, but Randy Weingarten actually owns stock in privatized charter schools.
That's right. And that's why I had the biggest problem when Weingarten was one of the first to endorse Hillary before the primaries.
Yes. And all the national union leadership. Just think, if, you know, if all the national union leaders, would have endorsed Bernie Sanders and thrown the full resources of their unions behind him,
he
would have easily won.
Yeah,
easily.
Because he got 43% with the unions against him.
Yeah.
And that's,
and rigged elections.
And rigged elections. He would have easily won the nomination. So we have a stolen election because, again, I don't know why people thought that Trump was going to be the person that was going to break the mold of not getting going against the ruling class and getting away from stolen elections. No. He was always going to be the volatile capitalist who would threaten the systemic nature of neoliberalism. We are in late capitalism. We have to extend it to our next level. You were not going to do that. You were not going to be the president. You don't choose to run for president. The system determines who will represent the country's interest.
Do you ever seen the film Gus or Bill Moon Over Parador with Richard Dreyfuss?
No, I think I've heard of it.
Yeah, he's a an actor that gets hired by a dictator in South America to come and entertain for him. The dictator dies, and then he has to actually assume the role of the dictator because he kind of looks like him.
That
reminds me of Bananas.
But anyway, I guess there's you know, in this country, this dictatorship, they've got like an election every year, but it's basically the dictator's name is Sims. You can choose Sims Red or Sims Blue, and you got posters with a dictator's image that's all in red and one in blue, and you got two soldiers arguing about who you're going to vote for. I'm voting for Sims Red. Oh no, Sims Blue. It reminds me so much of what this
red and blue
country has become.
Same colors.
You know, your choices, if you want to call them that, are determined by the ruling class. You know, and anybody that tries to actually make a real choice at campaigns like Bernie Sanders or Jill Stein, you're going to be crushed. I mean, they're going to do whatever they can to crush you and prevent you from doing that because they only want to have you pick their choices.
Yeah.
And they're going to win every time,
which
we're going to lose every time.
Which is not democracy. It has never been democracy whatsoever. That's why the word doesn't appear in the Constitution, because the Constitution is the law of the land and how we are going to rule you. You do not have any democracy. You never will under this document.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to recognize that. That should be one of the first things that's taught in grade school, is that, this thing, the country was built on the principle of democracy from the so-called a Revolutionary War, or War for Independence, I call it, because it wasn't a revolution. But, you know, you have that. But then you have to understand why the Constitution was put into place. It was put into place to stop working class people from rebelling, like Daniel Shays in 1786, and multiple, like the Whiskey Rebellion, from these other groups of people. Like, this law was put into place to take away democracy, not to promote it.
And the Bill of Rights was basically fought tooth and nail by the, you know, the Federalists.
I mean, That was really the element. Heart of the Constitutional Convention, where all of the fighting was done, was during the Bill of Rights, because those people said, there's no way we're going to give the people the right to say what they want. Mm-hmm. These people are idiots. They're not rich. They don't deserve to speak.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the kind of comments that the Federalists were making.
Yeah.
They don't deserve to speak.
The people who own the country should run the country.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can't remember who said that, but it was one of them. Yeah. Founders.
Okay, well, this has been a very interesting program, and I hope you listeners have found it as well. You'll be listening to the World Labor on the Support Community Radio Station, WT in Champaign, Illinois. Stay tuned till next week, and until then, or actually I should say stay tuned for a little bit of music and the short segment of the Union Edge. And until next week, be safe, power the people, take care.